Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Well, this is it. The last weekend of campaigning and then the Iowa caucuses. But before those expected about 100,000 Iowans trek through the cold on Tuesday night to pick a Republican presidential candidate, some people are asking, hey, why are we even doing this thing? Here's one of the skeptics, Robert Gutman, director of the Center on Politics and Foreign Relations at Johns Hopkins University. He wrote an op-ed in the Huffington Post this week called Forget Iowa. He joins us now. Robert, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, Robert, we've got somebody who's for the Iowa caucuses, David Redlosk, professor of political science at Rutgers. He's co-author of Why Iowa, How Caucuses and Sequential Elections Improve the Presidential Nominating Process. David, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So, Robert, forget Iowa? Why?
Well, it's a little tongue-in-cheek, but I've been out to Iowa, several Iowa caucuses. Actually, the State Department had me explain to foreign journalists why we were out in this cold night at a VFW hall or at somebody's house playing games like Red Rover, send somebody over. You know, it's you have different groups and you try to build up enough support for a candidate. So it's a very unique, very American system, but it's gotten, you know, out of hand. I mean, if you look at people talk about kingmakers, you know, the kingmakers are the several hundred thousand people or just over 100,000 people who come out on a cold night in Iowa in January to decide who is going to be the, you know, winner of the Iowa caucus. And then, like in 1980, the first George Herbert Walker Bush, the headlines of the magazines were the Big Mo. And, of course, this Big Mo only lasted a week. So Iowa doesn't always produce the winners, and we could come out of Iowa very muddled and then go into New Hampshire. So there might not be anybody that has the Big Mo. There might be a lot of people who are all around the front. And there are people like Ron Paul, who I've interviewed several times, and he says the same thing over and over. Why he has the support he does, I don't know, because it's very simplistic. I mean, he's very anti-war. He's very anti-Federal Reserve. And he says the same thing over and over again, but he seems to have a solid base of support in Iowa.
Okay.
But he's typical of one of the candidates who could do well, but, you know, he's never going to be the nominee, and he's not going to be the next president of the United States.
Okay, well, David Redlosk, let me turn this around on you. Robert Gutman says this is just a small group of kingmakers. Do you buy it? I mean, we have a minority of people who participate in elections in the first place. They are kingmakers in New Hampshire. They are kingmakers in primaries in South Carolina, right?
Right. I mean, actually, if you think about it, it's the media that's the primary kingmaker here. What the media does is interprets the results of Iowa, interprets the results of New Hampshire as we go forward in a sequential process. My argument is pretty simple about the Iowa caucuses, which is it's the kind of democratic process, the kind of involvement we as political scientists have always asked our citizens to do. That is, we want citizens to be engaged in politics. We want them to pay attention. We want them to have some kind of say. The alternative, it seems to me, is a top-down elitist approach where the party leaders, including bosses, and trust me, I live in New Jersey now, I know about party bosses, would control the process. Our argument is really simple, and that is that grassroots politics is what's best for democracy.
Robert Gutman from Johns Hopkins University, you heard David Redlosk there saying that this is the kind of grassroots participation that democratic small D people dream of. Do you buy it? Because, you know, grassroots may pick Ron Paul to win, but he's not going to be president.
Well, I mean, the originals I wrote, and a little bit tongue-in-cheek, you know, the early days we wanted the democratic process to work, and now it's gotten way out of hand. You know, there's too many caucuses, too many primaries. I know that sounds anti-democratic, but, you know, as I wrote, you know, somebody like Congressman Dennis Kucinich ran for president so he could get a date and so he could get married. I mean, when the reasons are totally obscure. Donald Trump, a real estate developer, decides he could run for president. He didn't go this time. But so it's kind of, you know, if I want to be president, I'll just run. It decreases the role of the political parties. I've been to every Democratic convention since 1968, and you know, it decreases what happens at the political conventions. So, as I said, it was a little tongue-in-cheek, but I think, you know, what if you got the governors of one party and the governors of other parties, and you sit around and they decide who could be a centrist candidate? Because we get people, you know, who next week are going to appeal to the extremes. And, you know, we've had, you could justifiably say we've had worse candidates since we've had primaries and caucuses than we had when the party bosses chose people. So we have people who have to appeal to the extremes of the right or left. And then after the primaries and caucuses are over, they have to appear, you know, appeal to the center, because you don't win the presidency in this country unless you get the independents to vote for you.
David Redlosk, appealing to, from Rutgers, appealing to the extremes, is that a bad thing in the caucuses? I will back up one point that Robert has, which is the Iowa caucuses, especially on the Republican side, have chosen a lot of winners lately. Huckabee, Buchanan, who I haven't heard too terribly much from the Oval Office. Is it worth doing?
No, you know, the Iowa caucuses are not there to necessarily identify the winner. If you think about it, what the Iowa caucuses probably do best these days is winnow out the field, that is, eliminate those candidates who are not really real or have not connected with the voters. So last time, for example, thinking about the Republicans, yeah, Huckabee won Iowa. His bigger impact actually was to essentially kill off Mitt Romney, and it wasn't because Romney was some kind of failure. It's because the expectations for Romney was he was going to glide to the nomination. When he didn't, people took a closer look and said, this guy's campaign is not making it happen. The key point here is that in a system that is federal, where the states matter, presumably voters in the states matter, a sequential system allows us to understand from state to state how campaigns are doing. It builds campaigns. It builds candidates. When candidates are forced to go out and actually talk to people, those candidates, I think, get better, and so do the voters. You know, Professor Guttman says we've had worse candidates since the primaries, but I'd have a hard time seeing real proof of that. We're always kind of complaining that current days are not as good as the good old days. But in fact, you know, the process has its ups and downs. It's not perfect, but at the same time, it really connects people in ways that we've said for a long time we want people to be connected.
Well, the Iowa caucuses aren't going anywhere this year, and I'm going to bet that we have them again in 2016. Robert Guttman, Director of the Center for Politics and Foreign Relations, thank you. And David Redlosk from Rutgers, we thank you as well. We want to hear from you. Iowa, a waste of time or grassroots democracy? Let us know what you think about the caucuses. 877-8MY-TAKE.